This is the news, according to me. And good morning. Good morning. It's Tuesday, which now will become, you know, famously throughout the world as Topical Tuesday. Tuesday mornings, my plan is to bring you a topic, not based on any kind of news, just a topical discussion that's relevant to what's going on in the world. However, it's just a topic. I'm not going to be ranting about anybody's news broadcast or anything like that today. Well, not on this show. Later on today, I will be. I'll be filling in more about that later on. Planning on having about three shows today, this one plus two more. And now here it is. We are December 22nd, getting close to Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's okay to say that. December 22nd, 2020, the year of our common plague, the pandemic. So, almost coming up on a year now of having this thing on the Earth, on the planet, doing its thing, affecting us all worldwide, because it's from China. It's from China. China. So, here we are. I'm not going to talk about this. This is Topical Tuesday. And then what we're going to talk about today, this is a little bit of a brief history on my story about how I kind of, my study and my life application later in life figured this out. Wish I had figured it out a lot earlier in my life. Would have been nice to learn this stuff in school, high school, grade school even. Which they probably did teach me this stuff in grade school. Actually, I wasn't paying attention. I have to admit. I was not the example of academic excellence. That's as far as I'm going to go with that. Let's just leave it there. Let's just move on from that topic. So we have, I didn't really discover this kind of stuff until it was probably around year 2000, actually 1999, right in there, 2000, somewhere in there, started figuring this out, started learning from some people that really had their head on straight. And again, like I said, it's probably something I learned in grade school, but didn't pay attention to it. And I think a lot of people have slipped past what we used to learn in school in terms of civics and government and now have forgotten that, especially people my age. I run into a lot of people my age that have a different recollection of the Jimmy Carter years. So I remember very vividly what happened during the Carter years, during the late 70s, and what was going on with the country. Whereas most people don't remember why Jimmy Carter was a one-term president. There's very good reasons, more than one reason. His reason is he didn't get the hostages out of Iran. That's not the case. If he would have gotten the hostages out of Iran, he still would not have won that election, I guarantee you. People were pretty upset with this guy because of all the stuff that was going on. It wasn't just the hostages. That was a part of it, but he might have gotten one or two more votes. I don't know, but it was a landslide. So here we are, Topical Tuesday, and the topic is the founding principles of our country, of our nation, of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Now, those are two different things, basically. Our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. And here's the reason I say that, because the Bill of Rights are kind of the foundational paste that the Constitution grows out of. So, and what I mean by that is our foundational principles are our rights that are not given to us by government. Okay, that's one of the main things. That's one of the pillars of what the founders determined initially when they were framing the nation, when they were framing this government. They were planning to have nothing but a basically that every individual would be a sovereign. Now, we can talk about slavery. We'll talk about that another time because that is a big part of this equation. However, that was not part of their enlightenment. In other words, they weren't making these decisions based on how can we keep the slave trade going. So this form of government where every man is a sovereign and every man has liberty and has the right to, in fact, the way they wanted to say it initially was life, liberty, and property. However, they put property in later on in the Constitution, but it wasn't part of the Bill of Rights as such. It turned into the pursuit of happiness, which is kind of an ambiguous statement. However, it does have underlying understanding when you read the letters that were being passed back and forth. I'm not talking about the Federalist Papers. I'm talking about letters, communications that were passed back and forth between the Founding Fathers at the time. So here we are. We're a new nation being founded, trying to figure out, you know, how we're going to make this government work. These guys, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, because honor is sacred. And they're going to pledge these things basically because they knew that the British, if they ever found out what they were doing, they would certainly hang them. They were putting their lives on the line for what was going on. And these weren't just, you know, homeless guys that didn't have any other purpose. These weren't people just out, you know, tipping over trash cans and burning down dollar stores. These guys were, they had a concern for the nation. They knew what was happening. They had an awareness of what was going on with the founding of this country. They knew they were founding a new country, a new government. So they had what I call an enlightenment, which is really an understanding or an awakening of the sovereignty of a man, the sovereignty of a person. Okay, I'm going to use man as a generic term. I know that'll tick some people off, so I'll keep using it. So a person has the inerrant, is that the right word? The God-given, or you are born with certain enumerated rights, certain given rights just for being a human being. And those rights cannot be infringed upon by any other human being or entity without the express execution of due process. So you have to have your day in court. That's what that amounts to. Now let's get back to this idea. This is the foundational framing idea. And I'm not going to go too deep. Hopefully I won't go down the bunny trail too far into the whole Constitution and the Bill of Rights in depthly that way. I'm talking about the founding principles, the founding idea, the awakening that the founders had that helped them to basically motivate them and frame the rest of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. An individual, a human being, and I believe from the time a person is conceived, when they are in the womb, they are a life, and they have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I believe that's when life starts, and I think that's where the real argument about abortion is when does life begin? Because if life begins after the child is out of the womb, which right now that's, in fact, some people would argue it doesn't even start then, that you can kill a child even after that because they really don't have a life because they can't sustain themselves. Well, I know a lot of people who can't sustain themselves, and they're well into their 20s and 30s, 40s. They can't sustain themselves. So really, they don't have a life. That's what it amounts to. By that definition, we're all dependent on each other. You throw somebody out in the middle of the woods, pretty much likely they're not going to live as long as if they were in society typically, unless they're well-trained, which they were probably trained by another human being, which means that they were dependent on that human being to train them to that point. You take a baby, put them out in the woods, of course, they're not going to survive. Most people, put them out in the woods, they're not going to survive. Take most people and put them out in society, they won't survive without the help of other people. That's just the way life is in general. We're organic. So the founders built everything on this idea that We are all individuals, and each individual has rights that deserve to be protected. And I want to pull up the quote from John F. Kennedy. It's a very popular quote, and I use this quote quite often, but I always want to make sure I get it right because it's very easy to misquote this. And I want to try to make sure I've got it right. In the meantime, while I'm looking for this, sure, they make it real easy. There you go. JFK quote. There we go. The rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. So everyone's rights are diminished when one person's rights are threatened. That is really the crux of what the founders thought. I'm not a big fan of JFK, but he certainly was a different kind of Democrat than what we have today. And we have different Republicans than what we had back then too. So think about that. And here's the deal. With a pure democracy, which we do not live in, the word democracy does not appear anywhere in our Constitution. The idea that we are individuals with individual rights, and here's the problem with this, and this is where our society has developed a problem, and of course this is, there are even people on one side of the political spectrum that believe that the Constitution is a list of negative liberties. Now think about that. We'll get back to that statement. That's probably a whole statement. That's probably a whole topical Tuesday in and of itself. I started to discover the individual rights of the personal rights of an individual and how important that is. We don't have group rights in this country. That's becoming a thing. And only in the last 20 years has that really started to escalate. In fact, in the last 5 years, it's really escalated. But I would say 10 years. 10 years, it's escalated, but in the last couple of years, it's like they've poured gasoline on that fire. And all because of their anger towards someone and they're ramping all that stuff up. And so all these fringe groups step in to fill the void and cause, once the chaos starts, they jump into the chaos pool. It's just kind of the way that works. So we get to this point where we don't have group rights because, the color of your skin, and this is a very biblical principle. It's very biblical in terms of when you're born into this world, you're born by yourself. You pop in, there you are. You're on your own. You're dependent upon people around you taking care of you. And when you leave this world, you will leave, even if you're surrounded by loved ones, you leave by yourself. You're in your own skin, and that's what happens. You're in this little body, this tent, this temporary tabernacle that you live in. And it gives, at some point, it's going to give up on you. It's going to do its thing. It's only going to live so long. But you will continue to live. This is what I believe. Now, when you stand before God, and there you're going to be, you're not going to be able to point at anybody else around you and give excuses as to why you lived your life the way you did. There may be plenty of, valid excuses and reasons for why you believe what you believe and and that may be because of the influences around you. But ultimately, you made the decision to live the way you live. And I will guarantee you this one thing. You will be responsible for the choices that you made. And that's the bottom line of that. Now, the hope we have is that when we make bad choices, and we will, because we're human beings and we don't see fully what we're supposed to be doing, even if you're trying to do what's right, you may be making bad decisions and bad choices. The hope that we have is that aside from all those bad choices, at the end of the day, we're not depending on our goodness to give us eternal life, to have the forgiveness and the mercy of God put on us. We're not dependent upon, look at all the good things I did. This is like someone, I've heard this before, and it's a very good analogy. A person goes before the judge, a person committed murder. They go before the judge and they say, oh, but I rescued, I'm responsible for rescuing, 12 people over there. So even though I killed this person over here, I've far been much better. I've done a lot more good things than that one bad thing. And the judge goes, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it pretty much weighs out. I guess the score's pretty even there. We'll let you get away with this murder because you saved 12 people's lives before. That's not justice. Not at all. You're still guilty of murder. And that's kind of the way it is. It people have this idea that if you're a good person and you do more good things than bad things, that somehow that's going to, you're going to win the favor of God. Well, I have news for you. If you think anything you do, if you can look on the cross and just, see Jesus hanging there for you, bleeding all of his blood out, taking the punishment for what you've done, just that's the sacrifice right there. That's the sacrifice that's being done. If you can look upon that and tell me that you can do something that can add to what he's doing and has done on the cross, I would say that God's not going to be impressed with that. I don't care what the good thing is you've done. Now, yeah, good things are, that's a blessing. It's something I think that builds up treasure in heaven, sure. But that's not the crux of what your salvation should be based on. And that's where we are as a society. Because we have this tendency, people in this culture now think that, well, I believe in God and I've done all these good things. I'm sure he's going to be okay with me. I was a good person, or that person was good. Therefore, I think that person did a lot of good things. They were a good person. So we're going to, just accept that they went to heaven. And that's really wrong. It's not, I hope that that's not something that anyone ever puts on my tombstone or says about me after I pass. Because I hope that all they say is he put all of his hope and faith in salvation in what was done for him on the cross. I hope that that's what's said of me. And I hope that that's what's said of you. Because there is nothing I can do to add what has been done for me on the cross. And I think it's blasphemy to think anything more. I think it would be an abomination to God for me to think that, well, yeah, I know Jesus did all that, but I'm going to do this too because that's going to win me favor with God. No, sorry. Sorry, that's not going to do that. Now, there's ways we can live that result in blessing, obviously. I think that, that goes on beyond. That's just the life we have to live with each other. That's rules for living good with and getting along with people. And those things are all well and good. But this gets back to that whole thing of our personal responsibility. Our responsibility to each other. And here's what the founders, I think, figured out. The founders found out. they were foundering things. That's what it was. Try to lighten this up a little bit. The founders realized that if a man is sovereign in his personal effects, his property, his papers, and all of his belongings. In other words, if I make a decision to go out and work, and I say I chop down a tree, I form it into a chair, and then I take that chair and I trade it for a pig, and I have that pig and I maybe trade it for two pigs. Let's say I trade it for two pigs. And then I have more little baby pigs, and I start raising pigs, and I chop down another tree, and because I, let's say I just found a dead tree. I didn't even chop the tree down. It was just already dead. It was just laying there. And I can create and produce because I took the risk of trying to shape that chair, that piece of wood into a chair. And so something that someone needed that I could then trade for something I needed. It's called the fruits of your labor. So I go out and I labor, and I'm just using that as an example. Let's not get too far into the weeds of whether or not it's economically or ecologically, you know, safe for me to do something with a tree. Okay, so it's just, let's just go back to, I go out and I produce something that someone else needs, or I provide a service to someone that they need, and they compensate me for my time, for my agreement to give my time and my effort and my labor, which is something that's mine. It's not, I wouldn't have to do that. I could just sit there and wither away and go away. The government now somehow seems to think that because I went out and made an agreement with an employer or with another person as a businessman, that somehow my decision to exchange my labor, my service, my produce, my whatever I've done, whatever I've grown, whatever I've produced, that somehow in the transaction of them trading something to me, that somehow they're supposed to get a part of that. And that is what probably disturbs me the most about the federal income tax, because they are taxing my life without due process. I am trading 8 hours of my life for my employer for the day, or 10 or 12 or however many hours you work. In exchange for me trading my labor, my life for 8 hours, they basically own you for 8 hours to do what you're doing, and that's your job. They're giving you compensation for that, typically money, which is paper, fiat currency. We'll get into that in another topical Tuesday. So they trade you with that, and then you can then, it's like a coupon, you can then go out and purchase what you need with that, with what you've traded your labor for. Somewhere in the mix of that, the government has stepped in and thought that they deserve part of that. They deserve a cut of what you've done, of the labor that you've done. And that somehow is supposed to, that they can tax that, because obviously, you know, you can't just make money without paying taxes. But I didn't just make the money. I went out and traded my life for that money. Now, if you win the lottery, that's a whole different story. If, you know, there's some things that it just, there probably could be taxed and be an argument for the taxation on them. But that's a whole different topical Tuesday. So today's topic, and this is where I want to really get this foundational idea in your head, is when someone comes up to you, I was approached by a young person one time, and they said their family were adopted, and they were not the same skin color. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. And the child, who was probably 13, 14 years old, was kind of going through this discovery process of, because they were getting all this stuff in school about, you know, your identity and where you come from and how your culture, you know, your culture is one thing, whatever, all that stuff. And, you know, all the identity politics stuff was coming into it. And she said to me, she said, well, my family came from, I can't remember where it was from. It might have been South America, whatever it was. But it was an island somewhere that it wasn't considered, it was from an island somewhere. And so the question was, so I'm not really this, what am I? And I just looked at her and said her name. I said, you are blank. I'm not going to mention the name. And I said, there's no one else like you on the planet. You are who you are. And your identity isn't found in what is around you. I said, your identity is probably, if you want to go that route, your identity is more related to the family you're growing up with now than what your ancestor genetics say you are. Now, genetics play a part into it, and there's medical issues there. I mean, it's don't get me wrong, genetics are important in terms of some of those kinds of things, but your genetics in terms of who you are as a person, probably not such a big deal in terms of how you make the decisions you make today. Because culturally, you can change. If you're in a different culture, you can change that. And I, this is a whole other topic for a whole other time, but hopefully you're picking up what I'm putting down here. This is the basics of our freedoms are based on individuals. That's why Lady Justice has a blindfold on, is because she's not supposed to see ethnicity, you know, creed, color, ethnos. Those differences aren't supposed to matter. The law is supposed to weigh the same for both individuals, regardless of your gender, skin color, background, what your creed is, what your religion is. Shouldn't matter. Based on all those things, that's the moral law. That should be based, you know, should have the same context in both situations for both people. So, and all laws spring from the constitutional law and spring back to the laws of basically common law, which is the idea that your rights shouldn't be infringed upon. And when they are, say I'm going throughout my day and I'm doing my thing and somebody else comes along and takes my, or, you know, maybe it's an accident, but they run over my garden. Well, they need to make that right. They have harmed me. They need to make me whole because that was my property. They damaged it, whether they meant to or not. They infringed on my rights because I own the property fair and square, even though now the government wants to tax that in some states. So, because I went out and purchased that with my labor, the money I made through labor with my life. So they want to, say somebody comes in and destroys my crops. They need to make that right. They need to make that whole. If someone hits me if I'm parked in my car someplace in a parking lot, someone comes and drives up and hits my car. That's obviously they have done damage to me and my property. So that's if someone punches you in the face or someone causes injury to you in any way, that's when the rights of that sovereign individual have been infringed. And that is where government should be protecting our rights. The problem now that we have, and this is all kind of coming around to today and today's world and our culture now, is that somehow those are negative liberties and the government now is supposed to instill more liberties, positive, what the government should do for you. Now, this is one of the things that Barack Obama said, I think, really caused me, it's almost like a scary moment when I heard him say it. He said, the Constitution, this is what he taught when he was he wasn't actually a professor in college, he was what do they call it? It's like a associate adjunct professor or whatever they called him. And he, one of the things that he would teach is that and this is a common thing in academia now, that the Constitution is a set of negative liberties, saying what the government cannot do to you. When it should be more, they want to see it more balanced into a constitution of positive liberties. In other words, what the government should do for you. Now think about that. If the government is for, of, and by the people, then what are the people obligated to do for you? What is someone else dispossessed to do for you? Just like everyone's, I hear this all the time. We have the right to health care. Everyone has the right to health care. Yes, anyone has the right. Everyone has the right to health care. You don't have the right to make me pay for it. You have the right to get whatever health care you want. You do not have the right to force me to pay for it. They say, well, the government's going to pay for it. No, I'm sorry. The government is for, of, and by the people. In other words, you're asking me as a taxpayer to pay for your health care. And that is where we run into the problem. That's where the big argument is. So anything we get into in that respect, I mean, there's some countries that they're taxation is, you know, you might make $100,000 in a year and all you get in your paycheck is about $40,000, some places $30,000 to live on. Well, but you have everything for free. No, no, that's not the way it works. And we're going to get into this more in some of the topics we have today for the show, the other shows. One is the latest stimulus bill that's coming up. They just passed the stimulus bill. And everybody says, well, I hope the president doesn't veto it, or I hope the president, some people want the president to veto it, some people don't. Well, it's not vetoable because there was a majority in the Senate. I think it was like 6 people voted against it. It's not a vetoable bill. There's nothing he can do about it. Whether he signs it or not, doesn't matter. He can't veto it because it was voted with too high of a majority in the Senate. So that's not an issue. That's not an option, I should say. So put that thought out of your mind. It's not going to happen. Now, I do have problems with this bill. It is the most atrocious bill I've seen ever. And the only reason is because of all the crap that Nancy Pelosi put in it. They weren't going to put it through the House without all this stuff in it. Now, I wish that the Senate had line item veto. I don't want the president to have line item veto, but the Senate should have line item veto. Because there is stuff in there that is it's not for America. It's literally billions of dollars going out of this country to other countries in a COVID stimulus bill. I tell you, if I was in Congress, every day I would present a bill that forced them to make the bill relative to what the bill was about. If they have a bill called Lollipops and Rainbows for Everybody, that there better be lollipops and rainbows for everybody in the bill and not everybody else besides us or only certain people, or it's also all about healthcare and it's all, you know, all this other stuff. This is where they put these titles on some of these, like the Patriot Act. That's a good example. The Patriot Act. Oh, yes, it's the Patriot Act because we're all patriots. Yeah, we're all giving up our rights for patriotism. We're allowing the government, we're forming a whole new organization within the government, a couple of them actually, to spy on us because of the Patriot Act, because we're patriots. It's not patriotic at all. It was a destruction of our rights. But we went along with it because everybody was scared at the time and there was a terrorist hiding behind every bush. So that's the whole thing of a nation that's willing to give up its liberty for security deserves neither security nor liberty. And that's a whole other topic. Got a lot of topics to talk about on Tuesday. I'm not sure there's enough Tuesdays in my life to talk about all the topics we need to talk about. So later today, we will talk about the stimulus bill. In fact, that'll probably be the next thing that comes up on the next show later on today. Hopefully it won't be before Rush gets on, but maybe after Rush is on, probably after 3 o'clock, maybe right around the time unless he's got another fill-in. I'm getting a little concerned. He's been spending a lot of time off the air lately. Has had a lot of fill-ins for him on his show. So prayers go out to him. Hopefully he'll be fine and get through this whole thing, and he'll be able to see the results of this election, and it will turn out the way we all hope it does. And that's another thing. Another topic is the election. We'll be talking about that a little bit. And then what's going to happen on January 6th with the Congress coming up? There's some interesting things happening. Congress on January 6th. We'll talk a little bit about what happens if someone in the Senate and the Congress objects to electoral college votes. So we'll talk about that a little bit. I've learned some things that I don't really care for in that. I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there, but I had a little more hope with that than what I have now. And then there's the talk. We'll talk possibly today or tomorrow about the Insurrection Act and martial law and what the differences are. If you don't know Roman from Epoch Times has put out a really good explanation. He's a really good teacher, put out a really good explanation of the difference between martial law and Insurrection Act. If you get a chance to look for that, I think it's on YouTube. I'm pretty sure you can find it there. You can also find it on Parler and Rumble. But it's a really good Facts Matter, I think, is what the name of his channel is on there. If you see that, go ahead and get on there. Make sure you listen to Josh Bernstein. He's a follower of mine. I'm a follower of his. really appreciate him following me. And if you get a chance to share this video or share this podcast, please do so. Like it, subscribe to it, listen to it every day. Even if you don't listen to it, please pass it on or post it, share it with your friends on Facebook, whatever you need to do. And I really appreciate everybody listening, and I appreciate everybody that has even accidentally clicked on this particular podcast. Show's going a little bit long again, as usual, and so we're going to try to talk about all those topics today, some of the things that are going on with some of the lawsuits and things that happened over the weekend. Steve Bannon had a really good interview with Eric Metaxas over the weekend, he talked for a long time about all the things, the different avenues of the election, things that are going on, lawsuits that are being filed right now that are kind of going under the radar with the news media, even the right-wing news media, that could possibly flip about six states. So there's some hope out there. We'll keep it going. And once again, thanks for being with us. And I'm just going to go ahead and end this show because I don't know what else to do. I got so much to talk about, and hopefully I just have a couple more shows that you will enjoy. Once again, this is the news, according to me.